Là, il y a le petit sac hein, qui fait quelques kilos.
Gregory is showing a black canvas bag that he's slung over his shoulder. It's nestled up against his hip. It looks compact but heavy. It's a few kilos, he says.
Essentiellement médicaments, de quoi grignoter, barres énergisantes.
Inside is medication, energy bars, water, first aid supplies, a knife. Enough material to survive on his own, he thinks, for 72 hours.
Donc voilà, je suis prêt à toute éventualité.
I'm ready for anything, he says. A few weeks ago, snow had blocked the Paris suburb where he lives. He wasn't worried, though, heading home on the train.
Et j'étais l'une des seules personnes qui était prête dans le train à pouvoir passer une nuit tranquille.
I was one of the only people in the train who was going to be fine getting home. I had what I needed in my bag. This is his bug-out bag. It's a term used by survivalists, people who constantly prepare for emergencies or disruptions. Gregory, a 43-year-old former soldier, now works as a bodyguard.
Ça fait des années que je suis dans cette mouvance-là.
He's been part of the survivalist movement for years. The movement started in the U.S. in the 1970s during the oil and gas crisis. People started publishing books and magazines talking about stockpiling food in the event of economic collapse. In the 1980s, some survivalists built nuclear fallout shelters. At the end of the 90s, there were fears about Y2K, that the electrical grid would break down because of a computer bug in the transition from the year 1999 to 2000. Often the doomsday scenarios are religious, Christians getting ready for the apocalypse, evangelicals preparing for the rapture. Whatever the reasons, though, the movement has coalesced around preparedness, and survivalists, or preppers as they're sometimes called, share information on stockpiling and building retreats in the country. Gregory's working on just that. He's looking to buy a piece of land outside the city where he can build a house.
Ça sera un chalet en bois avec une totale autonomie en ce qui concerne électricité.
It'll be a wooden house, he says, completely off the grid in terms of electricity and water. He's convinced he'll need it.
On pense beaucoup à tout ce qui est rupture de la norme.
He talks about breakdowns of normality, like large strike movements here in France, where you realize you don't always have what you need.
On est très dépendant de tout ce qui est commerce, etc.
We're very dependent on businesses, he says. When you learn how to stock food or cure your own meat, you realize that other people could have problems, but not us.
Certaines personnes peuvent être en difficulté, mais pas nous. On est prêt pour ça.
We're ready for it. A not insignificant part of American survivalism is self-defense, not just stockpiling food, but also guns to protect against the non-prepared. In France, gun laws are different, so the emphasis is different, but that element is still there. I met Gregory at a survivalism expo, the first ever. It was organized in Paris. We were standing next to a stand that was selling knives. Near us were other stands selling bulletproof vests or camouflage gear and other defense equipment, though this was not the majority. Most stands were selling water filtration systems, build-your-own wind generators, and robust camping equipment.
We don't have this pioneer spirit, so it has a whole different cultural background.
Alexandre Bombeche is a bow hunter and a freelance journalist who's contributed to Survie, or Survival, magazine. He spent time in the U.S. and sees a difference between the American and European survivalist movements.
In Europe, we have a welfare state all over. So it's not this kind of Darwinism you have in the U.S. where you got to fight for your life or you're going to die.
European survivalism is more about living off the land than barricading yourself against the rest of the world.
Self-sufficiency, discovering all the ways of living or rediscovering what our grandparents knew and the way they lived. I mean, this is predominant.
Bomager is trying to do just this himself. He's been rebuilding a house in the Vosges in eastern France.
I've been renovating a former logger's house. I've been working on it on my own for over 9 years. I have 2 water sources, a small pond, I have 11 acres. I'm starting to cutting trees and rearranging the surroundings like they were at the beginning of the 19th century. Problem is that now all the elders are dying slowly. My neighbor was 89, he died 2 years ago. And during the Second World War, all the villages were burned down by the Germans. So there's no infos anymore, no more archives.
But it's not all about history and nature. These survivalist plans still involve distrust of something, society, the system, your neighbors.
You know that after September 11, many, many things have changed. Some people don't trust the society anymore, the way things are running. People are feeling less and less comfortable with Maybe their jobs, maybe their relationships with their friends or their family. It can be identity, wealth, safety, lots of things. All the countries in Europe. This question will rise sooner or later. We have the migrants, we have the bombings. Something has to be done. Otherwise, I mean, of course, people can't do much because it's not the same thing like in the US where you can just rush to the first gun shop and buy whatever you want.
Beaumanger is a gun rights advocate, but he says France and Europe have a different approach to guns and to self-defense.
We don't have the castle doctrine in Europe. You can't defend yourself the way people do in the US. I mean, the way we enforce civil peace in Europe is different. You're not alone. You're not on your own.
Survivalism remains on the fringes, but it appears to be growing in the U.S. Manufacturers of water purifiers or portable shelters report increases in sales, and publishers of how-to guides are growing their audiences. In France and in Europe, the movement and even the concept of survivalism is even less well-known, though American influence is everywhere, and that has an effect.
People are so soaked with, literally, with North American culture. From the internet, the movies, all the zombies movies, and all this gun porn everywhere, of course they're influenced. Walking Dead?
Walking Dead. Corentin laughs when he says that's what's inspired him to become more self-sufficient. But he's serious. He and Capucine, they're both in their mid-20s, are living in the Paris region, working regular jobs. But they have a plan to leave with their three-year-old son to go live off the grid in Ardèche, in the center of France.
L'Ardèche,
avoir une maison la plus autonome possible.
We want to have the most self-sufficient house possible, says Corentin, with a well if we can.
Ce qui se passe dans le monde?
You see what's happening in the world with the terrorist attacks. You want to have something set up, he says, so you're not left with nothing if something happens. We grew up with so many end-of-the-world theories and doomsday scenarios, explains Capucine. We've been immersed in it, so that plays a role in us wanting to be self-sufficient. It's about not counting on others, not counting on the state. You want to count on yourself, on your family. And self-defense is attractive, though Corentin says gun regulations get in the way.
Le but c'est quand même de rester en accord avec la loi et on peut pas tout faire.
The goal is to stay legal, he says. We can't just do anything. Capucine says they want to stay realistic.
C'est de rester dans le réel, dans le possible.
We want to be able to do what's possible. We know it won't happen overnight, but it's what's best for the planet, for us, for the future.
Pour l'avenir.
Many of the people at this expo, of course, are city dwellers, and it's hard not to think that maybe they're attracted to a certain idealization of country life or nostalgia for what appears to have been simpler times. Take Emily, for example.
I like a medieval lifestyle. I prefer when you have less industry, so no cars.
She's a 24-year-old metalsmith. She works in a car factory. She's smoking a cigarette outside the expo hall, watching metalsmiths hammer on anvils, demonstrating knife making. She dreams of making things by hand. She and a friend regularly go on long backpacking trips.
So we go out with just a lighter and a knife, and we spend a weekend or so building cabins or in tents.
She likes the idea of living like that permanently.
Surviving on your own, not being dependent of the city, not just doing your groceries and usual life.
On s'aperçoit qu'au final, les anciens n'avaient pas si tort que ça.
Gregory, who is never without his bug bag, says we could learn a lot from our ancestors.
Si ce n'est que prendre l'exemple du bon vieux poêle à bois.
Take the example of the good old wood stove, he says, which allows you to cook food and heat your house at the same time. It saves money, doesn't use electricity. Survivalism is about being practical, he says.
Pour moi, le survivalisme, c'est surtout de la prévoyance.
It's really about being prepared.
J'ai confiance en moi-même.
Because the only one I trust is myself. Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.